Yeah, it depends what the topic is. You know, just not too long ago, we were talking about the alligators in a Twin Cities lake. You know, the kids released the alligators or alligators.
Where are these alligators?
Up a little bit. That's what?
Are we in Southern Florida?
It was all over the news for a while. There was a couple of alligators released in a Twin Cities lake.
Oh, great.
And
Lake Placid?
And so it was perfect. The owner of the alligators was out there in a boat with his overalls on and no shirt, and it was perfect TV. There's all kinds of daily issues, so we often meet beforehand, you know, whatever the topic is, to kind of strategize a little bit and figure out our talking points and how we're going to best present the DNR's perspective on the different issues, and whether that means a news conference or a teleconference or media availability, we all talk about that.
Are you involved with a lot of crisis communication?
Well, it seems like there's
every day.
Yes, and so there's all kinds of stuff. Whether, you know, the thing about the DNR is people are passionate about the outdoors.
Well, this is Minnesota, so this is we have a lot of lakes to cover and a lot of legislation that goes through our state house on DNR issues and DNR topics. This is not Indiana. I mean, we have a lot of water here, a lot of wetlands, boundary waters. It's a lot of space to cover.
Yeah, and like I said, people are passionate about what's happening and with the natural resources, and so,
we mustn't get involved, Bud Grant, because Bud likes to speak for the DNR occasionally. Once in a while, he kind of steps out there and starts.
No, we haven't. You know, he's into the Mille Lacs deal, I think, and we haven't dealt with him or interacted with him for a long time. And you know, like I said, it is what it is. I mean, I try not to get emotionally attached to any of the stories. Just do my job and do the best I can for the DNR and best we can for the media to get them the stories and the information they need to best present the story.
Great. Our guest today, Steve Carroll. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk a little more sports from the heyday of the 80s and a little bit more about Steve's other entrepreneur company I want to talk a little bit about. And we'll come back on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB.
City's fastest growing television news, News 11 Sunrise, with John Bachman, Amy Powell, Steve Carroll on sports, and meteorologist Sally Patrick.
Good morning. It's Friday, July 31st, the last day of the month.
The People Who Care, Channel 11.
Well, that was a great team. You know, John recently retired, as you know.
Yeah, he was the number one news anchor at WHO for a long time.
Yeah. Amy's a reporter in Los Angeles.
Right.
And Sally, I think, is out of the business, but her husband is in the business, and I think they live in Cleveland.
Yeah, we've had both Andre and Sally on the show, and they are still in Cleveland. She still does weather backup once in a while. He's the main meteorologist at WJW in Cleveland.
They used to do the Weather Couple Coffee
Quiz. That's right. before Frank and Amelia, we had Sally and Andre.
Yeah, so they would have one person be inside, one person be outside, and they'd try to stump each other with weather questions.
would it ever work? Could they do it to each other?
They might have been a little staged.
But it was unique, and they were personable.
And the great thing at 11 at the time was they were, our guest today, Steve Carroll, they were willing to try things that had not been tried before. I mean, I talked to Paul Douglas one time, and I said, how do they let someone who's 25 years old come into this big building and then let them rip out a wall and put a backyard studio on up there? And he said they tried everything to get some ratings, so why not?
Yeah, I mean, they had money. Gannett did, and so or still does. But they had money and were willing to try things to do it different. They were ready to break out of the box and do things differently. And so they created the backyard weather scene or weather situation, which now is fairly common throughout the country. It was a little strange in the beginning, but it happens all the time across the country now. And
I'm just trying to picture going to my boss and saying, hey, I'm going to rip out a wall here in the office, and we're going to do this concept and see how well that would go.
I think the door would just close.
Yeah, we're trying. Yeah, it would probably close behind me. Probably security would probably be following me about out the door, right. Too. You are an entrepreneur also. I want to talk a little bit about your business. Your hockey, it's a goalie camp, correct?
Yeah, it is. I run the Steve Carroll Goalie School, and I pretty much have been doing that ever since I left the TV business. I enjoy working with kids and helping them get to whatever level they hope to get to, and it's just been a lot of fun. I'm now, I think, in my 19th year of running my goalie school, and we train kids starting at age 7 up to about 15, and we run clinics throughout the Twin Cities, and
any NHL stars you've worked with?
No, well, I don't know about NHL stars, but
they're all stars.
They're all, like a couple of kids I worked with that, Jeff Frazee that came through the U and has kind of been up and down with the New Jersey Devils. It's kind of fun to see a guy like that, at some point you had some role in his development. Is he the reason he's playing at that level? Because he came to my school?
Obviously.
No, I appreciate that. But no, but knowing that you had at least a small role is kind of fun. And there's a lot of goalies that we've worked with that are currently playing at the NCAA Division I and Division III levels. So, it's fun to see those kids develop and achieve success and know that you had at least a little part to do with it.
How many kids a year did you have in the camp?
We run five sessions. This summer we run about five sessions. So we run five sessions and we get about 20 kids a session. So about 100 kids a summer that come through us. And then from there, that leads to in-season training, either individual training or associations will hire us to train their goalies during the winter months. So it's kind of a full-time job, but not really a full-time job.
Well, you're sticking in two spots. DNR and hockey are two parts of Minnesota. I don't think you're going to fade away anytime soon. So you're in the two right spots, and plus you're doing what you love, too.
I think that's the bottom line. I mean, I work at the DNR, and I enjoy the outdoors. I'm not an avid hunterman. I don't hunt, but I enjoy fishing and some of the other outdoor recreational stuff, and I'm passionate about sports and helping kids. And like I said, to be able to make a difference with them on the ice and show them some things that help them get better, whether they're a C-level kid or an A-level kid or a varsity kid. Or I even coach at the college team with Gustavus Adolphus women's hockey team.
Oh, okay.
And just to be able to help the kids get better and like I said, success.
Does it feel like work? I mean, if you're doing what you love, even when I do this show here, which is painstaking hours of preparation to do the show, we come here with a good time, and it doesn't feel like work. And I'm guessing that between hockey, maybe not so much the DNR part of it, but it's got to be fun to be able to come into work, and you're problem solving. You're either showing a kid on how to improve himself or how to get out of some kind of crisis communication here. The DNR, it's got to be fun.
Yeah, I mean the DNR. I mean time flies because you're always looking at doing something, whether it's tweeting or creating podcasts or do some radio work for them or crisis communications or Care 11 calls and want to do a story with whoever or Channel 5 wants to come over and do a story with whoever. It's all part of it. We just try to do the best we can, and then after that, then it's off to the hockey stuff and. I think that's just fun, and to be able to have fun with or do something that you love, and then there's a paycheck in there somewhere.
That's right.
Somewhere
is always nice,
but,
right?
But not the priority. And it's nice to have a little paycheck at the end of the day. But you're right; it's not really work.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned tweeting. Has technology been something you've integrated into your life, into these places? Because right now, communication, I'm guessing it's changed when you were in college. I was in college. Tom's a recent Brown graduate. So Tom's way ahead of any of us.
They made
here.
Me get a Twitter
they
account.
They made me a Twitter account.
And I hated it.
But is this something that's been, to come naturally to you to, integrate, technology and video and tweeting and texting into what you're doing? Or has that been an easy road?
I wouldn't say it's an easy road, but it's been a vital road. And I'm fortunate that I have two boys, and one helps me with the goalie school on the ice with the training, and the other one helps me with my computer stuff and does my website and makes sure that I know the latest things about Twitter and Facebook and that type of stuff. So we do that for the goalie school. We have our we have a website. We have videos. We have a YouTube page. We have a Twitter account. Mm-hmm. So we're up to speed there on the social media. From the state agency standpoint, that's been a little bit harder to do. But we've moved into some of our divisions have Facebook pages. We don't have an agency-wide Facebook page yet, but we have some of our divisions have Facebook pages and have a lot of likes.
Fans,
whatever. Yeah. And then we do have some Twitter accounts, and I do manage the DNR's Twitter account, and we have about 10,000 followers on our Twitter account. And so we're probably a little ahead of the game compared to most state agencies, but it's kind of a slow process.
Even communication industries, let's say our stations in town, I think we're a little bit slow to integrate into, you know, what communication's done right now. You and I both have the same phone here.
Yeah.
And what I'm always wondering is why isn't like local news more integrated into mobile technology now? Because that's how people are watching. People, Generation X and above, or even beforehand, I mean, no one's home at 5 o'clock to watch the news anymore. And,
correct.
You know, we're working long hours. And to be able to watch local news, I think people would do it. Even if they were able to sell some advertising on mobile technology, I think that there is some market there, I think, that's not been tapped yet.
I would definitely agree with that. I mean, I don't watch the news. I have my apps on my phone. I just pop that, and everything that's been happening is up to date, up to speed.
Yeah, and I think that's what the challenges are for these for newspapers, for sure, and TV stations, you know, as well, is how do they reach their audiences?
With our guest today, Steve Carroll. In fact, if you've missed part of this show, you can always go to iTunes and download Flashback Twin Cities on iTunes or on the KLBB website, which is klbbradio.com. And if we have a pocket parent who wants to learn more about the Steve Carroll Goalie School, they can go to?
I appreciate that. Yeah, they can go to www.carroll2rs2lsgs.com, and they can learn all about our programs.
Yes, they occasionally spell your name wrong on the Channel 11 promos we were watching before the show started, so make sure you get 2 R's, 2 L's.
Yeah, they can find it in Google, and it's pretty easy to find.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of Google for Steve Carroll, KR11, occasionally.
I would guess. I haven't looked lately.
Do you get some parents occasionally that say, didn't you used to be that guy on Channel 11?
I do get that. I sometimes get, aren't you the weather guy?
Sure, yeah.
On a different station?
Yeah, no, no. Oh, that, okay, that one? Okay,
yeah. You're the weather guy, weren't you, on station was it? Yeah. Channel, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, periodically people will do that. It's, you know, like I said, I've been gone for 20 years now, and so I'm amazed that people would still remember me from 20 years ago. But
you know, people in Minnesota, they take this very seriously. They take people that are part of their homes every night. We had Ed Bud Kraling on, who was 95 this year, and you know he was on for 50 years, and we couldn't get him down the stairs where people were saying, hey, aren't you? Didn't you used to be Bud Kraling?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it's not much of an issue now, but periodically people will see me and say, hey.
I recall a few years ago on the radio hearing the DNR Minute, and that's where I thought, that's Steve Carroll on the DNR Minute. Those were some fun little one-minute commercials that you did on life jacket safety and wiping your boat off of invasive species.
Yeah, we do. That's one of the things I do. I record Natural Resources Minutes. They're 60-second public service announcements, really, that are produced by Minnesota News Network and that are aired on radio stations across the country and or across the state. And different topics, and it's, again, that's kind of a new outreach effort for us, you know, that stations are willing to play our material at no cost. It doesn't cost us anything for us to get that coverage. And that, again, it's just not a professional broadcaster, but I can read a little bit and talk on the radio, so it kind of works for a DNR guy to read them as opposed to a professional studio voice do it. And
I think you collect one paycheck, you can be a professional broadcaster.
Well, I appreciate that, but I mean, it's fun. It's, again, one of the things I do, and sometimes I put stories together for our website. Sometimes stations will ask me to do interviews or stories for their stations, and they know that I have the broadcast background, and I'm happy to do it.
Because your Rolodex still remains thick after you leave broadcast. You still have that Rolodex, those numbers. And I'm guessing some of them still may even work 20 years later.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of surprised that the news director at KR11 was able to call me at home the other day about a DNR issue, which was kind of funny. But of course, we were able to help her. But, yeah, I mean.
Oh, Jane Helmke.
Sure.
She was your intern probably 25 years ago.
Well, she was the intern, and she was actually the sports producer.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
And so, yeah, it's great to see Jane move up through the ranks at Care 11 and is now the news director. And like I said, she called me at home not too long ago for with a DNR question.
So one of those landlines still worked then, okay, apparently.
Yeah, she called on the home phone, and I was like, yeah, I suppose. And phone number hasn't changed.
People have those anymore, those landlines? I think we have one here still, don't we? Okay.
But, yeah.
No, that's great. Well, I think that, you know, it's any industry, and I think that what we've talked about is when you're in broadcast, everyone has to have a backup plan, and it looks like that, you know, your backup plan has been pretty successful for you. And
yeah.
And you know, wish you the best in the hockey goalie school and with the DNR. What's the biggest topics in DNR coming up here for winter? I mentioned wolf hunting. I know that's going to be the topic of the year.
It's hard to know what the topic will be because there's so many of them. I'm sure deer hunting will be a big issue. Wolf hunting is always kind of a controversial topic. I think there's going to be some mining issues coming down
that's
the road.
That's probably true.
You know,
how many? You mentioned about you're an angler. How many fishing openers did you attend? As those the big fishing opener days with the governor fishing openers?
Well, those were actually kind of fun, but I covered a lot of them for when I worked at Care 11, and I really enjoyed that because they'd set you up with a guide, and you know, our job was to follow the governor trying to catch a fish, and that never happened. So we just kind of sat in a boat, and while the photographer was standing by to...
You mean Rudy wasn't a good fisherman?
Well, we had Rudy, and then we had Arnie Carlson, for a little while, and then we had Jesse. So the photographer was kind of standing by, and while that was happening, my rod might have been in the water just in case.
Those cameras in that era were about 300 pounds, too. So picture you're carrying this 300-pound camera in a boat trying to watch Rudy Perpich catch a fish might be a...
That might have made it easier, actually. The camera equipment falls in the water, electrocutes all the fish. They all come up to the surface.
You might catch one then. That's I always found it funny when satellite cameras kind of became the big thing in the mid-'80s, and they would show, here's what Canterbury Downs is going to be built, and it'd be a live shot at 10 o'clock in front of a big field because we have the technology to show you a live shot at 10 o'clock. Just some of the shots that we were intrigued by because they could do it, and now you can take that camera we have on our hands right now and probably shoot better video than we could with thousands of dollars of equipment 30 years ago.
And so, like back to your question, I covered a number of fishing openers as a reporter, and it's been fun to be on the other side and being at a governor's fishing opener from the DNR's perspective and see what happens from that side. But yeah, those are cool.
Which has been the biggest fish you've covered of one of these governors? Who actually caught the fish without?
I don't know who.
Did they ever actually catch a fish?
I don't think they did for a while. That kind of was the story. I think Arnie never caught a fish.
Jesse was probably the best, probably the most experienced fisherman of the group. Probably
Jesse had huge crowds. I mean, I don't know if he caught a fish, but he had huge crowds because you never know what he was going to do.
He always claimed to be a big angler, so I figured he'd be the one that he was a smelt fisher.
I think with it was Perpich and then it was Carlson, and I don't think either one of those caught that I covered that they ever caught a fish. So that kind of became the story.
You know, that's a good peace of mind. I want the governor to be in the office working, not out on the boat for hours during the week. You know, trying to be. If I have a governor, that's a good fisherman, I'm going to be worried.
Yeah. So,
no Wendell Anderson picture.
That stage photo. No, we didn't have any of those. Arnie Carlson usually came fishing with Clem Haskins, actually the Gopher basketball coach.
Okay,
and both struggled to catch a fish. Actually,
that's unfortunate. What's the best fish you've caught out there when you did that?
Well, we had actually a media fishing contest during those events, and I won the media event one year, and I can't remember how big the fish was. But I do know I won a fishing rod, and I'm not an avid fisherman, so I traded my fishing rod for one of those push-button ones because that was easier for me to operate.
As long as the trophy's still on the mantle, right?
I have the little State of Minnesota-shaped trophy. Yeah, I still have that.
Perfect.
Perfect for the DNR, actually.
That's right. Well, again, our guest today, Steve Carroll. Carroll Goalie School, Google it, and also listen for Steve's DNR Minutes on various radio stations produced by the Minnesota News Network. And if you want to see Steve reporting sports, you can go to tcmedianow.com. There's still a lot of video, and I still get inquiries where everyone is, and you're one of them I get inquiries for.
Appreciate
so
that.
Thank you for coming down today, talking a little about the DNR and playing hockey and everything else that went on for the last 30 years.
My pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
Steve Carroll, our guest today. Flashback Twin Cities. We'll be back next week. This is Tom Osmond on KLBB Club 1220.